And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
No, this coming weekend, I think that this movie moment has my exact plans.
Oh, boy.
It's gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manless stories in the morning.
I'm making waffles. Yeah. Don't care. What? Well played, Will. Well played. Yes. And tell us, Tyler.
I can't be the only person who stopped watching the Shrek series because of that line.
Oh, come on!
If the sidekick doesn't have good taste in breakfast foods, I'm sorry, but I'm out. You could have just kept that to yourself, donkey.
If you stopped watching Shrek 2 because of that line, you missed one of the best animated films of all time.
I watched Shrek 2, and I hated it because it was so sad when Shrek became a human, and I just did not like the Fairy Godmother and Prince Charming. I hated that movie. It really upset me on an emotion, like on a deep level, and I refused to watch that movie again.
Oh,
it scarred
please,
me.
Please, come
My
on.
Gosh.
Anything else you should watch for Puss in Boots and Antonio Banderas.
Puss in Boots is great. That's a good point. I do forget that Puss in Boots originated in that movie, not the first one, because he does feel like he's so important to the Shrek lore. So I get it. But no, the human Shrek was the worst, and that abomination should have never come to be.
Oh my gosh. And I thought the waffles thing was bad. All right, we will attempt to move on. It's honestly been a light week here, so this is probably going to be a shorter episode than usual, but that's okay. But we're going to get all started off with, what have you been playing? Tyler, how about you start off?
I have been playing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate a lot.
Whoa!
Fallen back into a deep love with this game. I have started to figure out how to actually play, and I'm getting fairly good. And there's just one thing that I love in this world more than pancakes, and that is winning. I love winning a lot, and playing online and being able to win is so much fun to me. So I've been playing a lot of that. But I want to actually take this time, instead of talking about my experience with the game, I want to talk about the big tournament that happened this weekend called
Six. Yes.
There was a huge Super Smash Bros. Ultimate tournament with just about every top player that was there. And if you had to choose between watching the Super Bowl, which even as a Patriots fan was a snooze fest,
It was the worst Super Bowl I have ever seen. And I've seen 20 of them.
I like defense. It was just kind of sloppy. Like there was, it was, Belichick was great. Anyway.
Another topic.
You're right. I mean, I'd love to go on the tangent, but Genesis 6 was amazing. Every set in the top eight, that's how they do it. You go up to every day there's a different group, and the final day is top eight. Every single set went to a game 5, which is the final game. If you enjoy Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, I recommend looking up Genesis 6 top 8. It was a blast to watch. Every game was close and exciting, and you got to see some super high-level play. The winner was MKLeo, who Todd would be happy to know, mained Ike primarily, although he used Lucina in the finals. Pichu got second place. So
not
just a fun fact of CLG Void. I am really into watching Ultimate. I didn't really love watching Brawl or Smash 4 or even Melee. I just wasn't into it at that point. But watching Ultimate is a lot of fun. I mean, the players right now, at least, there's a huge disparity, and you'll learn a lot, but also it's just plain exciting. I mean, D1 does a great job on the mic. It's a good time.
Yeah, I've only watched like Smash Bros. Tournaments loosely, and I follow them occasionally, but I've heard like these Smash Bros. Ultimate tournaments have been good, and I'm glad that there is a super pro out there repping Ike proudly.
Winning with Ike,
though he won the final with Lucina, which I respect. Lucina's fine.
He went because it was face and Pichu, and I think the speed of Pichu
agreed.
Is tough. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Even I acknowledge that sometimes you have to change it up to match your opponents. So, but yeah, it's that's pretty good. So yeah, I'm sure there are going to be more epic Smash Brothers tournaments, and if we can ever get our Switch stream up, we'll likely host a tournament. Hopefully we'll get that going soon. Just got to get the card in, so we'll see. All right, Will, in non-spoiler terms, talk about what you've been playing.
No, Do I really have to say? Because come on, we already know that Kingdom Hearts 3 still has taken over my entire life for the most part. And I've just recently reached the second Milky Way galaxy right now, and just reached the world of Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh boy! I just gotta say, going trying to get those Orichalcum Plus and doing those Fantastic Five or Seven missions, like the Heartless Flan monsters, the challenges, it's like. Okay, some of them are not too bad, but some of them it's just like, it's so tedious trying to get these or Talcum Plus to get that ultimate weapon. I mean, obviously, as usual, Kingdom Hearts fashion, there is the grind there, and if you want to get the best stuff, obviously you got to go grind a little bit, but there is that tedium. But overall itself, the story wise, I mean, again, reaching to the Pirates of the Caribbean world, again, it feels like this is a simplified version of Assassin's Creed for Black Flag. Like, who would have thought that Square Enix can make a good pirate game? Yeah, like it's as like very how best to describe it, sharp in controls wise, but it's just a very simplified version like of a good pirate game. And I don't know if Square Enix kind of invest in it. I think that can give Ubisoft a run for their money in making a good pirate game. So I don't know,
And
Square Enix.
Microsoft with Sea of Thieves. People forget Sea of Thieves was a game.
No, no
That
one. It's not that they forgot; they
was
just stopped playing. There's a
quicker,
difference. Right, and there really wasn't any content on Sea of Thieves, and that was made by Rare. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So, would you call this
So.
a rare failure?
But yeah, overall, Kingdom Hearts 3 is just it's just remains to be so much fun, and of course, it went to a 100 acre wood. And my God, Jim Cummings, who does Pooh Tigger, how does he have that nostalgia talent? I love him. I really love him. Yeah, just the way Pooh and Tigger and Pete. Man, good man, good man. So overall, Kingdom Hearts 3 has been taking over my life. I'm pretty much approaching at the end of the game, the second half. So just gotta push on through now. And naturally, I've also been playing FaZe Royale with the new updates, with the Aether Raids now only costing 50 energy instead of the usual scaling of like 90, 87, which, heck, going to Aether Raids 4 times in one day, it's a very it's a good update, to say at least. And plus, the new castle layout is. And again, celebrating the second anniversary. All right, for me, I mean, I don't mind unless certain cohorts here really mind for some other things. But overall, I just can't wait for that Valentine's Day event, which I know a lot of people are looking forward to.
Yeah, that was really exciting. I wish that the Faye channel, actually, did we put that in our news chat, Faye channel?
No, I did
If
not.
yeah, well, that was a thing that happened because it just kind of dropped. We'll talk more about it then. I was a little disappointed in it overall, but I do love Rail Valentine's Day banner. That's extremely cool.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, I'm happy that you are enjoying Kingdom Hearts 3, Will. Even though I don't have it. Oh, bother. Yeah. But one day I will get it, Will, and I believe my exact reaction will be So. Oh, come on, that was a good Tigger. Moving on. Fine. No appreciation. All right. So as for me, silence you. I have been, of course, playing Smash Brothers when I can, but for a job for another website that I work for, I have been given a review code for Blaze Blue Central Fiction Special Edition. Yes. So if you don't know, Blaze Blue is one of the premier fighting games out in the world, and it had a It's bit, apparently its most successful game ever was Central Fiction last year, and then they ported it over to the Switch. It's coming out very soon, or it's out now, I can't recall. And so I got that, and dear gosh, this game is so anime.
You
Well, but
think
hold on. Now
because
remember, recall, I know what Blaze Blue is, both from Death Battle and from Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, which was one of my favorite games of last year, not just because of Ruby, but mainly because of Ruby, because hey, it's Ruby. But I never played a pure Blaze Blue game outside of one time when I was in Chicago and a buddy of mine let me borrow his 3DS and that was the only game he had on it. So, but dear gosh, okay, like this game and this I won't be reviewing for the website so I can spoil all I want here. This game basically takes you to both the past, the present, and the future of the Blaze Blue story, which is one of the most convoluted stories in all of video games. Okay, this storyline almost broke Death Battle. Okay.
You do not know that half of it, good sir, because
no,
yeah,
I do know
you
that
know
half of
Kingdom
it.
Hearts, you know Kingdom Hearts 3 was convoluted. Please, you have not seen Blazblue's story, which is like so many plot holes. You do not, you
No,
cannot believe it.
I do believe it. Here's how I believe it. Because they understand, thankfully, they understand that not everyone has played all the BlazBlue games up to this, right? So in the beginning of the game, they have four of the main characters talking about what's going on right now. And then one of them goes, how far back should I recap this for you? And then it goes, if you wish to hear the entire story up to this point, you can. It's going to take 30 minutes.
Way to go, Metal Gear Solid 4 cutscenes.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, it's only text chat, so all I did was read really quickly, spam the A button, and I got through it. But yeah, even with my loose knowledge of the BlazBlue story, this was so messed up. And then we basically go back in time to relive the origins of the game series, which I knew about because of Death Battle. And yeah, this game is way too anime for its own good. I mean, here's how I define it, okay? It's not even that Ragna is Edgelord Supreme. It's not that, you know, there's a lot of ladies with, what should we call them, plus bust sizes. It's that there's a character you meet early in the game, and it's a doctor, okay? And when you meet the doctor, she's in doctor attire. And, you know, she's kind, she's gentle, whatever, she wants to help Ragna, blah, 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 blah. And so to help him hide from the police, long story, seriously, she says, hey, we got to go to this one village, you know, Tao, which don't get me started, is guiding you there. And then we cut to the next scene, and apparently the doctor decides, I should probably dress in something less casual. Yeah, let's just say she doesn't leave anything to the imagination. Okay.
I know you're talking about. I know yeah. what you're talking about. It's if any, I have seen a bit of the story of Central Fiction, and the main game of Calamity Trigger is just like, oh boy, like it's very anime. Just don't really don't take itself seriously. That's,
it doesn't.
It's just kind of what
so
it is.
Wrong. Anyway, but
really, because that's normal in everyday anime world, you know.
Oh, it is, but I mean, like there should be limits, okay? I mean, okay, here.
No limits, good sir.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway, you want fourth wall breaking? Here's fourth wall breaking. When Tao met the doctor the first time, she referred to her as the doctor. When Tao saw the doctor in her what should we call it?
Hey, booby lady.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what she said. That's how she refers to the doctor. And I'm like, yeah, that's you would do that, wouldn't you?
Hey,
well.
Hey, don't diss on Miss Lychee, yo. Do not diss on Miss Lychee.
Yeah. Or what are you going to, what, is Bang going to show up and ruin everything again?
Hey, Bang Shishigami is an awesome character. Bang Shishigami, yo.
Uh-huh. Anyway, but I am enjoying the game for the most part. The combat system is weird because I thought it'd play a lot like BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, and it doesn't. There's two different fighting styles. They have stylistic mode and like technical mode, and they put you in technical mode, which I hate. But then when I lost the battle, they let me go into style mode, which is like button mashing, super combos, which is a little bit more my style, especially since this is a new game to me. And so, you know, it's nice and flashy, and it's very visual novel, which I honestly do appreciate. And the animation is fun, but dang, it's anime. Dang. I now know why Nick Kramer cringes every time he hears BlazBlue.
Well, granted, again, arc system work is much like BlazBlue itself is very technical. It's like almost up there with a hardcore, even like up there with Guilty Gear. But
oh,
yeah, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle was like the simplified version of BlazBlue. So yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm enjoying it, and it is fun enough. I've been so busy this week with one thing or another that I haven't had a lot of time to play it. So I got all my work done today. So tomorrow and Saturday I'm gonna like blaze through it. I did not mean to do that, but that works so well. I'm gonna blaze through it till I'm blue in the face.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I won't. I promise not to play too long because we don't want to reach Ragnarok. Anyway, but yeah, I've been playing that in Smash Brothers, and then I hope to play with you guys again this weekend because it feels like forever since we've had a Smash battle going.
It
so,
does.
So let's try and do it like tomorrow or Saturday or whatever. But yeah, so that's what we've been playing. But so I kind of sad doing this podcast because there's just not been a lot of, you know, substantial to talk about news, but we do have some good pieces. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And I think it's perfect that we start out with Smash Brothers news. Yay!
Hooray!
Yeah, so there are actually three very different pieces of news that all tie together because it's all about DLC characters. News number one, Piranha Plant. Now, if you recall, when Piranha Plant was brought into the game now last week, like the last entire week, there were some people saying that they had issues with All-Star Mode. Basically, if you played Piranha Plant in All-Star Mode, all of your save data would apparently go bye-bye, which is a no-go. Problem is, Nintendo heard about this, rushed to go find the bug. They can't find it.
Oh.
Which means that it must be a unique set of circumstances to whoever had this happen. It obviously had to happen to more than one person because a lot of news people talked about this. And I'm not even just talking about us, but like a lot of sites talked about the Piranha Plant bug. So yes. It had to happen to, like, what do you think, like 100 people at least?
Well, it happened to a lot of people, and I think they did figure out what the cause was. It's actually, if you're using a certain SD card, I'm Googling right now to see
please.
Which one it was.
Yes.
But it actually was a weird interaction with the SD card. But this kind of ties into another story that I put into our chat. And that is the rumor that Banjo-Kazooie are coming to Super Smash Ultimate, because some people also had this issue after the update, not only with Piranha Plant, but also with Duck Hunt Dog and with Mii Sword Fighter.
Yeah, I heard that.
So
okay.
If now when you think about it, like why did that happen? Well, Piranha Plant, when they created the character, they used Bowser Jr. as a base. So they've done this before. They used Zero Suit Samus as a base for Bayonetta, for example, when they were creating her. So the characters can be totally different, but still stem from a base character.
Yeah, like the clones and everything. And
right.
And the Echoes.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how if that lines up, but it's similar to that, where these characters are being used as foundations to spread off to other ones instead of building a character up from scratch. So Piranha Plant correlated to Bowser Jr. Duck Hunt Dog correlates to an unknown character. Duck Hunt Dog and Banjo-Kazooie make a lot of sense as a base character and a different character. Now, remember, they don't have to look the same. They don't have to have the same pose, anything. It's just a kind of base for the model, base for the moves. And I could very well see that being a thing. Also, Mii Sword Fighter, there are rumors that Edoric from Dragon Quest is going to be in the game. And that's been something that we've been talking about on this podcast before.
I'm going to get to that in a sec.
For a long time. And Mii Sword Fighter may be the base for him. And this isn't just me speculating. Now, Indie Gamer Chick on Twitter, a pretty credible source, knew about another news story. All of our news stories are tying in. It's like a mystery today. She knew that Xbox Live and Nintendo, Microsoft and Nintendo run crossover. So she was aware of the Xbox Live coming to Switch, which is a thing we'll probably talk about.
Yep.
And she also tweeted out that we'll be seeing more from Nintendo and Microsoft, including DLC for your games. Banjo-Kazooie were not mentioned, but they were teased in one of these tweets that has since been deleted. I can't find a copy of it. I've been trying to. But that is a current rumor. I think it would be amazing. I'm very excited about it. Now, it's important to say that it's just a rumor, but there is some substance with Bowser Jr., Piranha Plant being linked together, and Duck Hunt Dog probably linked to Banjo, and me, Sword Fighter, would link to Edoric. There's some real substance there, so don't get too excited, but it is looking possible that we could see Banjo-Kazooie in Smash Bros.
That's definitely impressive. So, I like that. That's a very good investigative reporting there, Tyler. Nice
thank
job.
You, thank you. I'll just go for journalism.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, that could be, and I'm glad it was found out that it was like an SD card thing, because I didn't want to touch. I don't think I've honestly done All Star Mode since I've gotten Ultimate, but that's not saying something, because I went from World of Light to multiplayer. So, but yeah, so if you are still experiencing it, maybe check your SD card. We'll see how that goes. But so far as it being a true Smash Brothers glitch, that doesn't seem to be the case. So
yeah.
Moving on to something Tyler just touched on, Dragon Quest. It's been rumored for a long time that a Dragon Quest would be getting a character in the form of Edric. Edric? How do we say it?
I say Edric. 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 I'm not sure. I really don't know.
So obviously this has been speculated for one reason or another, including the code name that was put into the title via the data mining that was found, because there was a code word Brave, and there was like, you know, code word Plant, and then code word Joker and everything. So the producer of Super Smash Brothers made a post onto Instagram, Supervisor Kumazaki Shinya. And he posted a pic of a shield next to Kirby. And anyone who knows Dragon Quest games knows that that is the Brave Shield of Edric. Yeah, and there is no reason to put a Dragon Quest shield next to Kirby, who is, of course, one of the mainstays of Smash Brothers, unless you were seriously hinting at something. Isn't that right, Nintendo?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Edric is extremely, extremely likely at this point, which is sad, because I wanted Sora, and I highly doubt we're getting two Square Enix reps. But
never know.
I mean, you do never know. It's possible. It's not out of the realm yet, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Square is so particular about their IPs. I mean, look at the Final Fantasy. We have two Final Fantasy songs in Smash. And, like, look at Mega Man. We have, like, 1,500 Mega Man remixes.
And Castlevania, we got an info dump there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well. And so, we'll hopefully, if a certain Nintendo Direct ever decides to show up, hopefully we'll get the announcement of Edric. Because it seems like all signs are pointing to Edric being the second DLC character after Joker. So, we'll have to see.
Very likely. It definitely seems very likely. Like, given just, again, as we previously discussed before, like, Dragon Quest is definitely one of the biggest franchises alongside Final Fantasy, and that's Square Enix's second best property. So.
Yeah.
Well, you would think I would be in the know on this, but what does Joker do? How does he fight? Would he have a sword or
dagger.
Okay.
Dagger and his persona.
Gotcha.
Dagger, persona, and his actually has a gun as well.
Okay, interesting. So, I mean, he sounds like he could be similar to Bayonetta, I guess. With the gun.
Somewhat.
The gun and the speed, and like, he seems like he's going to be a movement focused character like she is.
We'll see. I mean, Persona 5 is turn based, right, Will? Persona 5 is turn based?
Yes, it is the turn based, yes.
Okay, so is that kind of. Yeah, so we'll have to see how that goes. Alright. Okay, and then the final piece of potential DLC news, / not exactly. Because of Joker from Persona and Piranha Plant and all the rumors of who we might be getting, a lot of people are asking about who might get into the game, and some people are asking for Dante from Devil May Cry. So the producer of Devil May Cry 5, Hideaki Asuno, heard about this during a press tour and noted that he doesn't think this is going to happen, which if he doesn't think it's going to happen, that means it's not happening. He goes, well, when you think about it, I'm pretty sure that they, all the characters in Smash, at least have some game on a Nintendo platform, right? Well, that's the thing. Devil May Cry has never been on a Nintendo platform. So it seems like the first thing to do would get Capcom to put Devil May Cry on a Nintendo platform in some way, shape, or form, whatever game that might be. And then he apparently pointed to a representative and goes, "Tell her!" So, yeah. And I agree with this because, you know, Bayonetta works because Bayonetta was on the Wii U. So, and that's why she got, you know, voted into Smash Brothers.
But, right. Bayonetta got the Wii U. Piranha Plant is Piranha Plant. Yeah. And then Joker is coming as Persona Q2 coming later on in,
Which is technically cheating, but that's how Cloud got in because of Kingdom Hearts, so I can't complain too much about that. So, and I was curious whether he was on a Tatsunoko versus Capcom, the Marvel versus Capcom spin-off.
Wait, because, yeah, Tatsunoko versus Capcom,
he wasn't.
Came on the Wii.
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't. That's what I was saying,
Will, before you cut me off. Dang it, Will.
Well, that's because I'm also trying to remember another character, and I remember it was from, they referenced Sookie from Onimusha Dawn of Dreams.
Ah.
That's the one that I remember.
Well, wait a minute. What about Project X Zone?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh,
Carmen
my
Lucino
god.
Were in that. Fun fact.
Well, yeah, there were the second one. There were two games, and that one was heavy in Capcom characters. Will, look it up.
Yes, Dante and Virgil were in the second game.
There you go. So he has an out. He has an out, ladies and gentlemen. There is a way to do it logically. Now, granted, I would actually wager that this was less of a Capcom Dante game than, say, Kingdom Hearts is for Cloud, because Cloud at least has, you know, the backbone of, like, a lot of Final Fantasy characters were in there. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess technically there could be a Devil May Cry character. Oh, my gosh. Because that's just what we need.
They're saving him for Fire Pass 2, I think. I think they're going to do a second batch of 5 DLC characters, and that's where we'll see. That's where we'll see Dante.
Highly unlikely, Zisa. You want to kill Sora? We could kill Sakurai from all that development. Come on, he needs.
Yeah, let him rest.
And just let the
Tyler.
Team do it. Let Sakurai step back, but let his team kind of prove that they can do it without him. You know,
all right.
Like when Tails saved Station Square from Eggman, when Sonic was busy in Eggman's base, and all the people were like, "Wow, Tails is a hero in his own right." Let them have that moment.
Are you saying you like Sonic, Tyler?
I'm playing Sonic Parable today. I'm really comparing a lot of things to the Sonic universe.
Uh huh. Well, I was going to make a joke here, but I'm going to spare you all. All right, well, let's head on to another fighting game, Mortal Kombat 11, which had its first combat cast this past was it Tuesday?
Yeah, roughly.
Tuesday. Anyway, first of all, F for quality, okay? I don't know what was going on with that stream, but it was like kind of painful to watch at times. But we did get some new information. Cabal is confirmed. Devora also got confirmed, who was a recent character from Mortal Kombat 10.
Right.
And in the saddest piece of news of the week, Shaggy of Scooby-Doo has officially been debunked. They stated that he will never be a Mortal Kombat character, quote, dead meme.
Stunning. Simply stunning.
I know. Yeah, and then I think the when they announced that, the whole earth shook because of Shaggy's roar of rage. I don't know. So, but yeah, we all knew it was coming, but it was hilarious how they said it. I mean, they literally said, let's see, Shaggy will never appear in Mortal Kombat, dead meme. So, the meme will never die, NetherRealm, know your place.
I'm just really like good to see that Ed Boon can like just basically take a fun situation and just like go with it until like its official reveal. I mean, well, yes, obviously, is there was literally no chance in hell that Shag would appear in a Mortal Kombat game, but heck, fans can dream, and heck, you never know. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh boy. So, and then they apparently there's a like another tease that was coming out for Aaron Black.
Oh, yes, Aaron Black, yes.
Yeah, Aaron Black, who is, according to one of our people at the Outer Haven, quote, addicted McCree? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's right. He was also in the newer one.
Yeah.
Yes, he was in the last entry as well. And I don't know, Aaron Black is a very fun character to use. I actually kind of tried him a little bit, and voiced by Troy Baker himself is like, he's a fun character to use.
He was cool. He had his X-ray attack had him shoot the bullet with the name of the character on it.
Yeah, like your new hose. I love it.
Sure you do, Will. All right. Let's go to a bigger piece of news that we are all excited about, and that is Nintendo has confirmed, likely because of what happened with Metroid Prime 4, that there is an unannounced 2019 Nintendo Switch title that is coming, and it will make fans happy, apparently. So, So this obviously means it's one of their, you know, big library titles, right?
All right. I have a theory on this one.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I think it makes sense too. Now, this isn't going to be right, but it's just my theory. So, humor me for a moment.
Do it.
So, remember in April we heard about Star Fox Grand Prix,
right. And
the reaction was, I mean, that could be cool, but like, why isn't it F-Zero? Well, in my opinion, we haven't heard about that game yet because they said, you know what? Why isn't it F-Zero? And they're changing it to be F-Zero, and Fox Falco will be included in the game. But it will be an F-Zero game. That's what I'm saying.
That's what my line is going right now, because like, what other game said that the fans will be very happy to get? Yeah. F-Zero definitely fits that bill perfectly, because like, it's been more, almost feels like two decades now since the last game, I feel.
GameCube, yeah.
So like, yeah, that just matches the bill. Bringing F-Zero back from the grave, and everyone's been climbing from it, like almost a dead IP to the point. Yeah, I think F-Zero is a very good safe bet.
I agree. I think F-Zero would be a big get if it is. Of course, it also could just be the next Donkey Kong title.
Oh, that would be amazing too.
You never know.
That would be better.
Yeah, especially after the great sales of Tropical Freeze, which over 2 million. Ooh. So, yeah. It could be. It's just, I'm glad that they said this because there is still a lot of holes in their schedule for this year. We know Yoshi's at the end of March, but we only know Spring for Fire Emblem, late 2019, if not delayed, for Pokemon. And then what else? I mean, we know like there's titles like Daemon X Machina, and we knew there was going to be at least one surprise, which might be this, but that's why we need a Nintendo Direct. Dang it, Nintendo. Where are you?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that, like, this is just a prediction, because, like, since we're approaching the Valentine's Day event, I feel like they're going to show something at least sometime this month, hopefully.
It has to be this month. I mean, I can kind of understand January, because this is actually something that our dear friend Kromcho brought to me. It's like, when they found out that Metroid Prime 4, like, they were going to ditch it, or, reboot it, for lack of a better term, they probably were like, we can't do a Nintendo Direct and announce it there, because that'll kill the entire Nintendo Direct. So they probably wanted to get that out of the way and then do their financial results, which was also very positive, and then do the Nintendo Direct so that, you know, it wasn't weighed down by one announcement or another. So they have to do it this month. There is no logical reason for them not to do it this month. So,
yeah,
fingers crossed. Jeez. We're going to be like, it's been 84 years. So, brother. All right, moving on to Nintendo Switch Online, which has gotten two more Nintendo games. It's gotten Super Mario Bros. 2 and Kirby's Adventure.
Yeah, I mean, those are both good games. I'm glad that they've been added. The slow trickle drives me crazy. I haven't checked those throwback games for a long time. When Metroid came out, I think that was earlier in January, I played that for a few minutes. Actually, I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But only, again, for a few minutes, and then I do wonder what the player stats are on those games. Like, how often are people playing them?
Question. I kind of want Nintendo to show us, but we'll see. But yeah, they got to get better trickle out. I mean, they've had so long now, especially with all the delays to the online arrival. So, you know, why didn't they have all this ready for, like, you know, 5 games a month or something? I don't know. We'll see.
I think they do have the games ready. They're just, for some reason, thinking the slow trickle will be better. And maybe it is. I mean, maybe it is. They did give Mario Bros. Right away, which is obviously the biggest one. But I don't know, just from a user perspective, it's kind of irritating. You know that they could have those prepared by now.
I agree.
Right. I'm thinking basically because, like, since they are more or less sitting on the gold mine of old classic titles, like, yeah, from, so, like, recently, Super Mario Bros. 2, Kirby's Adventure, like, even to, like, I'm pretty sure they will eventually, like, release SNES games on it. I mean, yes, we have the SNES Classic, but it's just only like 30 games or so. Like, I'm pretty sure they're gonna release more games down the line if they're gonna really want to, like, sell Nintendo Online. That's what I feel like. I feel like they're just, in a way, they are tripping down, but they're just like, I feel like they also don't know what the heck they're gonna do with it. Like,
yeah,
they really need
to,
like, release more titles. Like, I don't know, even put it, like, 4 classic titles onto the service just to help really sell Nintendo Online.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how it goes. I mean, it's clearly working for them enough, but they definitely need to improve, especially with how big they want to go in 2019. We'll see. Speaking of improvements, voice chat on the Switch.
Ha.
Yeah, apparently, the technology that has put certain games like Fortnite ahead of other titles because it's in-game voice chat, no using this stupid phone app, Vivox is saying that they have found a way to put it into the kit for the game, so third-party Switch developers and presumably first-party Switch developers will be able to include voice chat in their titles, including for cross-play integration and et cetera, et cetera. So, should this be a case, there's better voice chat on the way, hopefully.
Go ahead, Will.
Well, to be honest, like, do you really want to have voice chat in Fortnite? I mean, again, we have Xbox, PS4 users. Do you really want to have Fortnite voice chat in Fortnite on a Nintendo console? Yeah.
Look, you're missing the point. Well, this isn't about one game. This isn't about entire lineup not having to use the stupid Switch app just to do voice chat.
Of course. I mean, again, I'd be very happy if they have that game, have the chat in soon too. Of course, granted. But, I mean, when you have other games, like, that's kind of a little bit on the side. Like, I don't know. Like, I would love it to be included in Rocket League. That would be a great game to have voice chat in. But, yeah, Fortnite and other things is like, I have my reservations of reasons.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You have the ability to not use the voice chat. That's your choice. But right now, the only option outside of a few games like Fortnite is you have to use the dumb Switch app. Or you do like us when we play Smash Bros. And we just come here to TeamSpeak or to Discord or Slack if you absolutely have to. Yeah, that's, we have to do our own circumventing just to get around the dumb app. Now, with this, we don't have to potentially worry about that. We can just do it in-game like we want to.
Don't think about one game
or like the reservations of what it's like to have voice chat. We need to have bloody voice chat, okay?
Right.
I mean, it's helpful, and I do think that this kind of, we might as well transition into the Xbox Live story here.
Yes, I
feel like we almost should have Koopa Keith on here to explain this to me, because when I saw this headline, I had no idea what it meant. Like, what does it mean? Like, the one thing I've read is that, like, the achievement system and the messaging system will be coming to Switch, which is cool and interesting for, I guess, you get achievements in games that are not Nintendo games, maybe third-party games that consoles have. But this crossover of the Xbox Live service being on the Nintendo Switch, I honestly am not totally sure what it means. It seems like it could be huge, or it could just be a small little thing.
Okay, so I'm reading the takeaway from what they released, and basically the first part is, yes, Xbox Live players are highly engaged and active on Xbox and PC, but now they can take their game achievement history, their friend list, and their clubs and more with them to almost every screen, including Nintendo Switch. And the second part is, this will break down barriers for developers that want their communities to mingle more freely across platforms, combined with PlayFab gaming service. This means less work for game developers and more time to focus on making games fun. So basically, in short, new platform will allow developers to add Xbox Live support for Switch and smart devices in games more easily outside of games like Minecraft, Rocket League that currently support cross-system play. And this is coming from a Silicon Era.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I love this personally. I think it's great that Microsoft and Nintendo are so close. I mean, competition is great and all, but I think, especially in the gaming industry where things from a fan level can get toxic, it's great to see Microsoft and Nintendo so not only willing to work together, but really benefiting from working together And down the road, hot take, I would not mind if Microsoft and Nintendo came together to create a singular console. I think that would be super cool just to see, you know, what Nintendo could create with Microsoft's financial stability behind them. I think that would be awesome.
I don't know about that whole financial stability thing. I mean, Nintendo kicked freaking butts this year and last year in terms of profit.
No, I mean, Nintendo's doing great. Microsoft obviously has a bigger budget than Nintendo does, given that they sell...
They have the budget, sure, but It's not really doing much with it, per se.
I know, but look beyond Xbox. I'm not talking about just Xbox. Obviously, right now the Switch is doing much better than the Xbox, but Microsoft as a company is much better. They have way more resources to pour into advanced tech, and I think that's part of the reason why Nintendo doesn't create traditional consoles really ever, since Sony jumped in, is because they don't. If they did an arms race for power, they wouldn't win. They don't have the money to get, you know, super high quality tech at a, and then be able to sell that at a low price. Like that's just not a reality for Nintendo. But with Microsoft being such a big corporation with those deep coffers and being capable of taking that risk, I mean, I think we could see something really cool.
It would be interesting to see. It would be interesting to see, like, if like some timeline in the future that Nintendo and Microsoft joined up and Sony was the sole one out. It's just like, what kind of timeline future would that be if Nintendo get the finances from Microsoft and just like make a hybrid console of both a Switch box, something like that?
And, yeah.
I don't know. It would be interesting to say the least. That would be an interesting timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so ridiculous, and I almost want to say, I mean, it'll never happen, and it probably won't, but things are trending kind of that way. I mean, there's the partnership has, with especially with Xbox Live coming over, I mean, that's a big Microsoft staple. There is this kind of camaraderie between the two companies, and I do think, again, the rumors, might not be Banjo-Kazooie, but it might be Minecraft. We're hearing that there's going to be a Microsoft rep in Smash Bros., and that's obviously a big deal as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool, and it's exciting to me to see two of the three juggernauts working together instead of kind of bashing each other.
Bashing, maybe smashing.
Ooh, actually, you smashing there. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's okay. That's why I'm the host. Anyway,
I'm just going slightly on tangent. Does anyone still remember that good old console war commercial, the Wii, PS3, and Xbox commercial? Brought their icons, and Microsoft only had Master Chief back in the day.
I think
I do, but it's been a long time. I do remember when Sony with Kevin Smith.
Yes, that was classic. I know. Yeah,
Butler.
Kevin Butler.
He would insult the Wii, in the Move commercial, and it was funny. But then, of course, you know, the Wii absolutely dominated them. So who's laughing now, Kevin Butler? So. those were great commercials. Like, I think Nintendo should go back to those kind, or should do something like that with the Switch. But you know, they're doing all right. I've been seeing a lot of Switch commercials recently.
They just
released a few more. With now, of course, Smash Brothers out and all that. So, you know, keep it up, Nintendo. All right. Speaking of third parties, 2K had something. Sorry, Take Two. Sorry, Take Two had something very nice to say about Civilization VI, which was brought to the Switch last year, and he said that it significantly exceeded expectations. So according to them, they said, "We felt good about the platform. We put the titles on Switch that we felt were going to perform well. We are excited about continuing to support the Switch for the right kind of properties." So there you go, another third party satisfied with the Switch, and that's what you want. That's what you want.
Go ahead, we'll tell you.
Again, it's just really a very good turnaround event since the Wii U days. It's like third parties now acknowledging this fact that Switch is a console that's like, again, the best of both worlds, a home console and a handheld console, and just to take it on with you on the go. I mean, third parties are finally taking notice of it, and heck, they want a piece of that pie. So overall, I'm just happy that many people are taking notice of it, and please bring more games to the Switch. We could definitely use more.
Yeah, exactly. These relationships are so important too, as we kind of move towards the next PlayStation and Xbox system, where the Switch is really going to be relying a lot on, I think, exclusive third party entries, depending on how, you know, what direction those two consoles go. We don't really know yet, but if we're seeing a tech upgrade that's going to make it really hard to port new games to Switch, I think they're really going to need to lean into these healthy relationships to get some exclusive third-party content.
Yeah, I mean, it's every good relationship matters, which is why the Switch is doing so well, because they're oppressing everyone with the portability, the reliability and the ability to, you know, produce great looking games without having to be, you know, super mega XD HD 5000 with Knuckles, you know. Because, I mean, again, Breath of the Wild looks amazing. Xenoblade, I know you didn't like it, Tyler, but it looked good.
It did. That was the one thing I said about it.
The Bayonetta ports. Bayonetta was already amazing on the Wii U, and then they brought it over to Switch and, you know, tightened it up a little bit. I just said Bayonetta and tightened up in the same sentence. Never mind. I can't stop myself sometimes. And I heard, of course, Civilization VI, I heard, ran really well on the Switch, and, you know, and should the gods allow, not the RNG gods, the other pantheon, allow Kingdom Hearts to come over to the Switch, I'm sure it would look good. It wouldn't look good as good as the Xbox or PS4, I won't deny that, but I think it'll still look good. So, if they just gotta keep cultivating these relationships, and especially now going into the year 3 soon, we're less than a month away of year 3 in the Switch, so they need to, you know, keep cultivating these relationships, keep getting more and more deals going, getting the multi-platform exclusive titles and everything in between, and they'll be doing all right. So if Take-Two is on their side, that's another big win for Nintendo. So, yeah. 'Cause that was the first Civilization game ever on a Nintendo platform ever. Period. So that was a big deal. All right. Last up, Faye Channel, which none of us saw coming, literally, because they're like, "Oh, by the way, here's Faye Channel."
Right.
They just dropped it. Like Will said, "Whoa, this came out of nowhere," and I was like, "Oh, an announcement? No, wait, this is literally the video."
Yeah.
So they just dropped that out of nowhere. It's like, "What? On Faye Channel? What? What is this?" Like, okay, fine, I'll watch it. And like, I mean, it's just more or less, it's just basically features regarding to the new what was it, the blessing flowers, something like that, something of the flowers that basically boost up your stats of and builds up on the weaker aspects of your characters, which besides from the merging plus 10 allies, you can also do it via these items, which kind of nice, so cover up your flaws. But also regarding to the new second anniversary castle layout, which is I don't know, it's kind of a nice little layout. But again, you can actually switch it out. Then the 8 raids only cost like 50 energy per battle instead of the usual scaling of like 92, depending on your tier level. Which, if you want to go for your holy heroic grails and those new items to buff up your champions, then, Aether raids is definitely becomes much more frequent now. You can definitely fight more in these battles, which personally I mind, especially since I unlocked the Duma. So overall, Fate Channel itself was not really great per se, but the only thing which we're just happy about is the new banner that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, and they did announce, and before we get to that banner, they did talk about the confirmation of the Heroes event, or the Choose Your Legends event, and the 5-star Heroes summon that we will eventually be getting this month, and all of the cycling banners that we get once a day, just in case you didn't get to get those characters beforehand. So, you know, they're doing their overload like they usually do. I'm building back up to 300 orbs. Oh, wait, I'm already there. they are doing that.
I'm sorry to go off tangent about it, but because, like, you had a funny story on Twitter. Apparently, you've been getting summons of certain characters that I appreciate.
Yes. So, it was, it was during, I can't remember which one now, but it was, I wanted a certain red orb character, a red style character. And so I did my summon. I knew I had like, you know, a 1 in a million chance, but it's happened before. And I got a 5-star Dream Camilla. Is that her official title?
Just call her Dream Camilla.
The Dream Camilla. And I'm like, gosh, dang it, Will. Yeah, and then of course a couple summons before that, I had gotten the quote unquote normal girl Tharja, and so I went, gosh dang it, Will.
Funny enough, because during that time period as well, I actually got another Christmas Tharja as well. So that whole fighter form.
And all this just goes back to my confirmation of what me and Tyler said during our recent Fire Emblem editorial about the characters who get overused too much, because now I have another Kamiya in my ranks.
Speaking of which, yeah, how was the feedback on Reddit when you posted that?
Oh, I didn't dare look. I didn't dare look. But we got a lot of views, but I didn't even dare look. And when I posted on Facebook, I wouldn't look there either, because, yeah, I know how people are about Darja and Kamiya. So
I think with the Faye channel in general, I was disappointed that there was really no new ideas. I was also disappointed in the free stuff that we're getting. Remember last year, we got, like, decent free stuff. We got to all vote for a character that we wanted for free. We got to choose that, and we chose Legendary Ike. That was cool. And they did a nice big thing with the Grand Hero Battles, the rotation that started then. They had a big event where you could do a lot of in-game missions to get orbs. I think they just gave us
a
like
lot
50
more.
Orbs, right? Didn't
a
they
lot,
give us
a
50 orbs twice? Like, they gave us one 50-orb present at one point and then another 50-orb present later.
Right. I mean, I remember, just recently, they announced, like, the pair missions where you only have to use two characters and do, like, the trials and whatnot.
And I did those, and they didn't make any sense to me. Like, I did Marth's one, and, like, the enemies were, like, level 10, and my Martha's like level 40 plus 10, so I just had them walk out and kill everybody. Like, I thought they would scale or be like challenge missions where you had to use a preset bonus of the character. Those are weird. They're not very fun. They're out of ideas for this game. And I personally just kind of want it to die. Like, I want it to go away. Like, I'm done with it. Like, it's disappointing, but I think that Fire Emblem needs to turn the page. If they're out of ideas, please stop throwing. Like, please stop, like, kind of throwing all these alts of the same characters out and just riling up the community. It's just, it's not great. The game's in a really bad spot, and this Faye channel didn't do a good job of making me think, wow, there's a brighter tomorrow ahead. Like, it's just, they seem pretty out of ideas.
It does seem that at times, and, you know, the banners are honestly the only thing keep me going. I mean, I do the Tempest Trials. I do the Voting Gauntlet. Which, hey, surprising victor, Owain.
Yeah,
right. Yay!
Yeah, but,
yeah, you picked Owain.
He did. I was on Leaf, and then I refused to pick Owain, so I picked Corrin.
Yeah.
Radiant Dawn, yo.
Hey, what did you just say? Oh, that's right. He's the Radiant Dawn. I was like, he wasn't the Radiant Dawn.
Like, yeah, I think for me, like, I'm with this with the free character that we got. You got to pick one free seasonal. I think we're gonna get another free seasonal, which is kind of cool. But you didn't get to pick the one you wanted. You just picked a color orb, and then that was it. So you couldn't even choose the character you wanted.
Yeah,
and I got Halloween Noe. I did not want Halloween Noe. I forget
that,
what
that's how
it.
I got.
What?
Thar-
we got Halloween Noe. I'm jelly.
That's how I got Tharja, because I just randomly picked red. And
yeah, I would have rather had Tharja. Like, she has some decent skills at least. But again, I don't know why I really care about that. I really don't play the game anymore.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I think I can speak for you and me, Tyler, when we say, give us Fire Emblem Three Houses already.
Yeah, I mean, just an update. I don't need a Nintendo Direct at this point. I just want to know what's going on with Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Me too.
Somehow Nintendo didn't respond to my tweet today. I tweeted at them from our NEP podcast handle. Feel free to DM any news about Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'm still waiting. They haven't yet, so maybe they just haven't read the message yet. But
maybe.
It could be coming. We could have a big
report
soon.
It could be coming. Fingers crossed. All right, so we teased this last week. We talked about it tonight, but
Mate. What about the Valentine's banner? Sorry, but we forgot about mention about Grail.
Oh, fine. I heard Tyler's depression about this, and I wanted to, you know, ease his suffering. But fine, Will. Let's open the wound some more. There is a new Valentine's Day banner coming technically tonight for Fire Emblem Heroes, and it features the arrival of Grail. Father of Ike and Mist, and Ike and Mist will both be there, and Soren, and there will be a Tempest Trials, which brings in Titania for her second time, which I find kind of interesting. But I'm of two minds on this, because I am happy that Grail is here. I like Grail. Grail is one of the greatest characters just by his short time in Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. But a Valentine's Day banner. Really? Mm-hmm. That's how you want to bring him into this? And this actually reminds me of Charlotte, because Charlotte is only in the game because of her bride's banner.
Right.
So, and that was with her and a giant spoon, of all things. So I'm kind of curious about how they keep bringing in these highly requested characters in a regular, or sorry, in a special banner like a Valentine's Day or a June Bride's banner, and not in their regular form, because I want to team up my brave, or sorry, yeah, my brave Ike with regular Grail and just kill everyone. But instead, I have to deal with Valentine's Day Grail, which I'm still gonna try and get, but it's just not the same.
It is definitely interesting why they would bring such a beloved character in such a unusual banner theme. I mean, Grail in relation with Valentine's Day, or just like love for that matter. Like, would you expect to associate Grail with the theme of love? I mean, sure, as a parental figure, he's Papa Grail of Ike and Ship, and might as well just like look after Ike, of course. But no, it's definitely odd to think about it. Like, why they would bring Grail into such a theme? It really is kind of odd.
I mean, I'm cool with him being in at all. I think it's great that they included this character that was never playable until now. Although maybe he was playable in bonus maps, maybe in Path of Radiance. Regardless, yeah,
you had to beat it like 20 times to get Grail
for those bonus maps. Yeah. I mean, I've never used him, so it's cool that he's in the game in some fashion, and I'm glad that they went with an old school game like they did last year for the Valentine's banner. I'm not totally sure, like, you know, the characters, how they match into it. Like last year, you know, Hector and Lynn are kind of, they're not canon, but they could, they're one of the possibilities, and Roy and Lolina are pretty canon. So that made sense. But you know, this is cool. I'm good with the fact that I'm good with this banner overall.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll probably just keep summoning until I get either one or two of them, because I have a feeling that there's a big other banner coming later this month, or maybe early March, I don't know.
The Choose Your Legends banner, of course. Your Legends.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm interested, but we'll just see. I just want regular Grail, okay? And one more thing. Me and Will were talking about this beforehand. For all you Ike Soren shippers out there, stop. Just stop, okay? Just because they are in this banner together does not mean they're a couple, okay? You should see the vitriol on Twitter of people debating what this meant. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just like us saying that Lynn always wanted to wear a wedding dress just because she's in the June Bride's banner. That's not how it works. Lynn hates being in a wedding dress. That's not who Lynn is. No, you're canon. I know that there is no doubt that Soren and Ike have a strong bond. It is a strong brotherly bond, and there is no doubt in some word of the phrase that Soren loves Ike because of what he did for him in canon. Long story, but they're not a couple.
Yeah, okay. Try saying that to the Yaoi fanboys and girls out there, because they do not care. Have you not seen that episode of Supernatural? Have you not seen that Supernatural episode of Shippings, like the slash fix?
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah. Dean slash Sam, that's just wrong. But I know. But I was just saying, like, I've seen people, like, the dumbest thing ever, it wasn't even that they were just saying that it was happening. One of the dumbest things ever was that in the banner, all four of the characters are wearing this, like, special flower bracelet. But they only noticed it on Ike and Soren. So they go, oh my gosh, it's like a love bracelet that confirms they're a couple. No, it doesn't. Grail and Mist were wearing them too. Oh my gosh.
It's time to stop. Where are your parents? It's time to stop.
Oh no, I'm sure some of these are full grown adults. That's what makes it even worse. So, just move on. And if you want any further proof of this, I bet when we see Titania's character art, she's going to have a bracelet too. So, stop. Just stop.
She is the mother of the Grail Mercenary, so yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay, like dead mother. Okay.
Mother figure.
Better. Which brings up the question, why not bring Elena into this? This would have been a perfect opportunity for Elena. You could have swapped out Soren or Titania for Elena.
I guess they just wanted, you know, to, as they tend to do in Heroes, they wanted to get recognizable.
I have a crazy theory, because like ever since your article came up regarding the whole fan service, maybe that's kind of the response, I think. I don't know. Crazy theory?
I mean, they, I, you know, well, that is my theory too. I think we created change.
Jeez.
So you're saying we brought change to America?
Right.
change to the world. All right, let's move on. I'm done with this. Let's move on. All right, so we talked about this last week. We teased it earlier. There is a Splatfest this weekend, which I'm very excited about, and I have time to play, which is great. It is going to be pancakes versus waffles. Ah, gentlemen, it's time to settle it in Splat. All right, Tyler, I know you've been waiting for a long time.
I want to apologize in advance because I'm not going to be able to yell because my roommates are asleep, and this is something that I should be yelling about, you know? This angers me very, very much. The fact that you two Neanderthals.
Oh, gosh.
Neanderthals. Oh. I'm not sure that you missed the evolutionary wave. Like something happened, you know, in your genetics that caused this defect of liking waffles more than pancakes. I mean, it's got to be a genetic defect, and I feel bad for you guys. First of all, let me just put that out there. You have my pity, but you do not have my sympathy because this one is not even close.
And keep going.
Is that? Good sir.
Why oh, okay.
No, keep, oh, like, this
no,
is your time.
I was going to give you guys a chance to insult me back. I
no,
could call
this
you
is your time. Go
and say you have genetic defects.
Oh, please, good sir. Please.
Let it all out, and then we'll destroy it.
Well, you know, point number one, waffles are for the born filth. And explanation, when people think of waffles, Eggo waffles tend to be the first thing that come to mind. You know, those $2 things that you buy at the store, and you just throw in your microwave or whatever, and you suffer through them, and you kind of just like you eat them. You don't really like them that much, but you kind of eat them because that's what you do. Point number one: pancakes are not as generic. Pancakes are a labor of love. Waffles are a little easy to make. Some people would say that's a good thing. I would say that's a bad thing. I mean, good things take time. You know, you gotta and focus, might I add, because waffles, you put them in their stupid waffle mixer. And you push down the pan, the top of the iron, and then it cooks your waffle, and then you take your waffle out and you eat it. Pancakes, you gotta craft it. You gotta have a little skill. You gotta be able to, you know, flip it appropriately, cook it the right way, make it nice and fluffy, don't overcook it. But once you do that, you feel good about yourself when you're eating those pancakes. That's something that you made. On the topic of ingredients, because I think the elephant in the room is, well, waffles are better at holding things. Pancakes, you just cook it in. Like let's say you want bananas, you put them in your batter and you mix it, and then you get your banana pancakes. They're delicious. You can do that with anything. Also, you can just put them on the top, and they'll fall off. No, you just put them on your fork and you eat them like it's like a normal human being. It's not like that waffle compartment is actually useful. It serves a purpose for lazy people and people who love to just put way too much crap on their breakfast foods. First of all, the syrup holding thing, you fill those things up with syrup, you're not eating a waffle, you're literally just eating syrup, and you are going to get diabetes and probably die at the age of 35. I'm sorry, that's just the life you've chosen by choosing waffles. Disgusting.
And you call us uncultured swine. Jeez, have you not heard yourself, dear sir?
Well, hold on. One more point about you guys being uncultured swine. Can you make waffle art? No. Pancakes, you can. You can make faces of anything you want. You can make your pancakes in any shape. You can cook them a certain way to make it a nice big Yoshi face, complete with shading, with a brightness darkness element to them. You know, pancakes really are they are art. And waffles, they're not. You just put them on the thing, you close the thing. And also, waffles are hard. That's another point. Waffles are a little crispy on the outside. I don't want that in my breakfast food. I prefer the light and fluffy pancake because I did not miss the evolutionary wave and am a 21st century human being.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, so where do I even begin with this? Because, yeah, the way you just more or less described pancake art, I mean, hello, have you not seen that great waffle iron we're going to a Pokeball? Have you seen that waffle iron that makes a Pokeball? That's because of the art. Just the way you can make shapes of it. And also, just want to begin right now, chicken and waffles. Perhaps one of the most staples in soul food. Have you ever tried that? That's pretty much one of the best combos ever. Have you ever tried chicken and pancakes? No, it is chicken and waffles, good sirs. It is dedicated in the category of soul food, man. So, yeah, that's one point for us for waffles.
Chicken and waffles, that's a fair point, but I would counter by saying put pancakes in there, it's better. Chicken and pancakes would be better.
Chicken,
you're right, that's not the
normal
combination, but it should be.
You are just swine, sir. Chicken and pancakes, what the heck is that? And also, like, you more or less criticize regarding to the whole, like, I don't know, the containment center designs of waffles. Hello, I quote Bumarina, those things are specially designed in order to hold these toppings. From syrup, butter, ice cream. Have you tried putting ice cream on pancakes? They just more or less get absorbed in the sponge. You don't even get the texture of ice cream. On waffles, it's just absolutely divine. Like, you actually taste the ice cream instead of just being absorbed into, like, spongy pancakes. Also quote from many of the general consensus, like, more or less that waffles is pretty much like pancakes with abs, and they can hold it. Pancakes is just like, it's just a flat piece. It's just a literal flapjack, and that's the alternate name, a flapjack, or just a flatjack if anything else. I don't know about you, man, but like waffles is, if not one of the most like complex things ever. I mean, heck, the container of those toppings, they are much more stronger if than anything else. You can put in, like, yes, the syrup, like all the toppings, blueberry waffles, strawberry waffles. Like, you say you can combine that thing inside pancakes, same deal with waffles. It's the same deal, if anything. And heck, have you ever heard of pancake memes? I mean, besides that one song, like, do you like waffles, do you like pancakes, do you like French toast, that song, besides from that, have you ever heard being used? We these past two podcasts, we have used it, has been dedicated into more or less nerd culture. Like, I'm in Shrek, I'm making waffles. Evo beware, we have waffles. In Teen Titans, it is pretty much embedded in nerd culture.
That is your best point, for sure. That for some reason, nerd culture has a fascination with waffles. I'm not sure why that is, but we do, as nerds, need to get better and kind of elevate ourselves to the higher level that is pancakes. But you are right. Like, if you let society dictate what you like, then okay, I understand. You know, maybe you come from the waffles perspective, but that's more like a you weakness rather than a waffle strength. You just, society can't tell you what to like.
Besides the fact that that's pretty much one of the, like, IHOP's main pulling points, like endless pancakes. As far as I'm concerned, I just rather take waffles if anything else. And there was also a line of thought I was going for, but it's just, again, I just like waffles is pretty much one of the best things ever. So yeah, take that.
You lose. Okay, Todd, your turn.
Okay, I shall. Tyler, I am not gonna appeal to you on a nerd level. I'm not.
Well, that
gonna...
was Will's. That was a strong argument from Will. I got to give him credit for that one.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. But I'm not going to bash you over the head with the facts. I'm going to appeal to you on an emotional level. Okay. My father was a drunk and a fiend. Oh wait, sorry, that's the wrong speech. Sorry.
That movie. What a great film.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Anyway, so no, my father does like to cook. But what he cooks most times, because my mother is a great cook, is breakfast. And do you want to know what father would almost always cook when he makes breakfast, Tyler?
He'd make pancakes because he loves you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He would make pancakes. He would make eggs. He would have sausages, sometimes hash browns. I never really ate those, but whatever. Anyway, and so every time...
Wait. No, that's not a just whatever. Did you say you never ate the hash browns?
No, I never ate his hash browns. I have eaten hash browns in the past.
You, sir, your opinion has just been tossed out the window. I mean, you don't like hash browns.
I didn't say that. I said I've had hash browns. I don't like my dad's hash browns.
Wow, you
know,
you hate your dad. Jeez.
You know what I'm saying?
Jeez.
Anyway.
I can't believe Todd came out as an anti his dad on this podcast. That's shocking.
Don't get me started. no, love my dad. But no. he would always cook pancakes and everything. So, and I loved it. I love pancakes. We'd go to Cracker Barrel. If you don't know what it is, look it up. And I would always get these massive pancakes with wild blueberry main sauce. It was delicious. And then I'm a comic writer. And so eventually I started going on the con circuit. And a lot of the cons I started to do were overnight ones, like C2E2 and Metropolis and Kasaluki, Philadelphia. And I ate donuts because they're donuts and why not? Donuts are great. Donuts and orange juice. That's all I need.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
And bagels. Bagels.
Bagels might be better than donuts.
Yeah, there's our next debate, donuts versus bagels. Anyway, so but then one day I was craving something more. And so I looked around and sure enough at the Fairfield Inn & Suites on Ontario Street in Chicago, Illinois. Plug, they had a waffle maker. And I'm like, I can't remember the last time I've had a waffle. I've had waffles in the past. I do like Eggo waffles.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. 11 from Stranger Things. My God.
There you go.
And yeah, I just want to add on to that.
Stranger Things. Fun fact.
Oh,
and I just want to add on, yeah, now I remember what I was about to say before. Like, again, does pancakes have a very catchy catchphrase? No. For waffles, it's eagle. It's very easy. Lego my eagle waffles. Waffles. That's, I'll take that.
Stop it, Will. Anyway, so I went and I got the waffle maker, and I had a waffle, and it was really good. And so I'm like, okay, that's nice. Had a waffle, changed things up. So a few months later, I went to Metropolis, Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois, which I didn't even know existed for a long time, which is just shows how non-observant I am. And I went to a hotel, and there was a waffle maker. And I'm like, huh, I should have another waffle. And then sure enough, they had like special batters of like strawberry waffles. And so I had one of those. And then later that year, I went to another hotel, and there was a waffle maker. And I'm like, okay, let's have another waffle. So the waffle became my go-to con food. And then, last year, or actually it was a year and a half ago, my mother got a waffle maker. I don't know why. I still don't know why to this day. But she got a waffle maker from my dad. And so every once in a while, instead of cooking his pancakes, he would just go and cook waffles for us.
Big mistake.
Wow. I enjoyed it greatly. And then, piece de resistance, this past Christmas, I got a waffle maker. Because my parents understood that I really loved waffles. And I always perked up when they said, hey, Todd, we're going to have waffles tonight. Do you want to come over and have a waffle with us? And I went, yes. Actually, I believe my exact words were, waffles, 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 waffles. Anyway, so I grew to truly love waffles, and I have now my own waffle maker. I made waffles like a few days after I got in the waffle maker, and I had this very special blueberry sauce to accentuate the texture and flavor of the waffles. And so I love waffles. I will still eat pancakes, and if there is no waffles around and there are pancakes, I will eat the pancakes. But for pure joy, I choose waffles.
I fundamentally don't understand how that is possible. Like, they just don't taste as good as pancakes. I mean,
to you,
maybe they're more just as a matter of fact, it's just a point of fact, they are not as delicious as pancakes.
And yet we have two people here telling you otherwise. So how is that a fact?
Well, you haven't been able to explain to me in a real way what tastes better about the waffle. You came at an emotional appeal, and I appreciated that. That was a touching little backstory.
Thank you.
But you haven't explained the fact that when you put the waffle on the iron, like, that naturally makes the outside get a little hard, and you want it to be light and fluffy the whole way, like a pancake. Like instead of having that little crunch, you kind of rather have the nice and fluffy. And also, I just want to reiterate one more time, you mentioned Eggo waffles, you mentioned pre-canned blueberry, strawberry stuff, and just putting stuff on an iron. Pancakes, once again, they do take more work. I will tell you that, I agree. But all the things that take more work, they turned out to be worth it, a bigger reward. And finally, nothing is more iconic for breakfast than a gigantic stack of pancakes. It's the giant stack of pancakes with the syrup coming off the side and the butter melting off the side. That is just great stuff. That is just quality food imagery. the giant stack of 10-plus pancakes.
Tyler, I'm actually surprised you didn't even play the Trump card, quote-unquote.
Oh, I just didn't need to. I mean,
Oh, really? What's the Trump card that I'm referring to, Tyler?
The fact that pancakes are strictly better than waffles in every way.
No.
The stack of pancakes? I thought that was a pretty good point by
me. No. Here, I'll put it to you this way. If Eggo is the quintessential version and platform for waffles, what's the quintessential platform for pancakes?
My mind always goes right to stack them high. Are we talking about Aunt Jemima pancakes here?
No, come on, Tyler, hop to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. See, oh, that's different. I can't blame myself for looking at a brand rather than IHOP, but it's just, IHOP, they're good pancakes, you know, and you get the unlimited, whatever, but it's, pancakes are something that you can really elevate to the next level. A homegrown pancake, hole-in-the-wall, mom-and-pop pancake shop, oh, my God, heaven. Heaven, shout out to Stack 'em High in the Outer Banks, Nags, North Carolina. I would swing by because they have the best pancakes in the world.
Uh huh.
And I don't even know if they serve waffles because why would they? Waffles. Now that we have concluded our arguments, you all can listen and determine who won. It was clearly me. I want to come clean and say French toast is actually my favorite. But
I've had French toast. My dad has cooked French toast too. So.
French toast is hard. Like it's the hardest one. Pancakes are hard, but they're harder than waffles. But they're doable.
Well, for me, French toast is kind of a bit of an acquired taste. I mean, I still remember like eating the cafeteria French toast back in breakfast
days. Yeah, that's bad. Like French toast has a low floor. Like you can get some nasty French toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will find out this weekend which breakfast food is more glorious. It's waffles. But we shall see. And actually, Tyler, you need to work extra hard because you have been on a losing streak as of late.
I have been on a bit of a
slap fest. And there ain't no conspiracy there.
This one might get me to pop in the game. This one might get me to play Splatoon 2 again instead of Smash Bros. Because I hate the idea that people like pancakes more than waffles. Like, if it wasn't midnight at the time of this recording, I would be yelling right now. It does just get me angry when people say that they prefer waffles to pancakes because I just don't get it. I just don't understand how you could just to point blank, pancakes are just better. Like they're like waffles, they don't have that filling. They're just like just bad. Like God, I hate waffles.
All right. Well, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Yes, last week we asked you when I did not pin that one. That's not the pinned tweet.
I
found
Tyler,
one that we actually
you
asked
one
you.
Job.
Hand up, I had one job and I didn't do it. I let everyone down.
Tyler.
We asked you what your overall impressions of Piranha Plant was. And most of you said, 41% said better than expected. 32% said he's amazing. 17% said meh. And 10% said they should have chosen Boo. That was a creative late addition by me.
Yeah.
I might have preferred Boo. Piranha Plant, I'll hear a week later, I think is really bad. Like, I think he's a bad character. Like, he might be bottom five.
How many votes did we get, Tyler?
81 votes.
That's pretty good. All right, so I say for this one, we go with the unannounced Switch game and try and predict what it is. So what do you think, I'm sure include the Nintendo Direct hashtag, what do you think the unannounced Switch game for 2019 is? A, F-Zero, B, Star Fox, C, Donkey Kong, who should we put for D, Earthbound.
Yeah.
Yes!
Right.
That
That's
would
not
be
one.
Sick. Oh
do
my
it.
Gosh, Mother 3,
it,
like,
do
rebuilt...
It.
Oh boy,
Mother 3 Deluxe.
I've been playing Earthbound again. Oh my god, it's my favorite game. It's so funny. I love it.
Yeah, I know. All right, so yeah, that's our podcast. Or sorry, that's our poll question. Do answer that, and we will let you know what you picked next week. And of course, let us know about what you think about all the news from tonight's show about the Smash Brothers DLC, Mortal Kombat, the Nintendo Switch Online games, the voice chat for Switch, Fate Channel, and everything. So let us know, and we'll talk to you soon. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I'm Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of waffles. I mean pancakes. I mean lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.